Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Answers for the Family. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza. And for those of you that have been listening, sending in questions and comments, thank you so much. And please continue to help spread the word that each week this show will bring on special guests that can inspire, educate, and in some cases entertain, while bringing answers and options to make our lives happier, healthier, and more successful. We will introduce you to top professionals and talented authors who are working to make this world a better place for all of us. Now, I'd really appreciate it if you would all do me a huge favor. Please forward one of our shows to your social media group and to someone you know that can benefit from today's show. This is one powerful way that we, together, can make a positive difference in the world. And with that in mind, if there was ever a time in recent years that we needed to focus on gratitude, this is the time. So my son and I wrote the Attitude of Gratitude Journal. And science has proven that focusing on gratitude lowers our anxiety levels, increases our immune system, and improves our overall wellness. So it's a no-brainer. So please go to our website at answersforthefamily.com and download your free copy. It's our gift to you. All I ask is that you subscribe, which is for free. Give it 21 days and comment on whatever platform you listen to us on what focusing on gratitude has meant to you and your family. Now, a quote from the journal, and it happens to be one of mine, is, "Happiness is not the absence of problems. It's the presence of the ability to deal with them." Now, our guest today, Tova Lee, began her successful blog, My Thoughts About Stuff, in 2016 as a way of talking about parenting, body image, and being free of boundaries. Now, as a writer, performer, and content creator, her open and honest video rants and her articles and her podcast, hashtag nailed, she has rapidly built a global online community of 1.2 million followers across Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Now, Tova's viral online series, Mom Crisis Live, resonated with millions of women across the world and later became a documentary film on Amazon Prime Video. Now, you can catch her epic and sometimes crazy adventures in Tova Lee, Mom Life Crisis, on Amazon Prime Video as well. Now, Tova is taking her raw humor, and after you meet her, you'll know what I mean. She's taking it to the stage on a UK, US, Canada, and Israel tour, highlighting her first book, F'd at 40. You can figure it out from here. Life Beyond Suburbia, Monogamy, and Stretch Marks, which starts by stating, "I woke up one morning and I felt like I was about to explode. It was as if my blood was boiling and I couldn't cool it down. I was bored, angry, tired, sad, empty, and I felt all alone." Well, that just about describes many of us over the last few months. So Tova, welcome to Answers for the Family.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so glad to be here, finally.
Yes, I know. You know, it's one of the, you know, I tied that in mainly because, you know, you started this long before there was ever a COVID problem or quarantine or anything else. So take us back a little bit before we start talking about how it's applying to today and tell us a little bit about, you know, how you started your blog, why you started it, and how it's now evolved with our latest changes in the world.
So I started the blog, I guess, 5 years ago now. Really, it was, I mean, honestly, none of it was planned. I started it because I was really, really struggling as a mom. I had 3 kids in a space of 2 years. So we had our eldest, and then less than 2 years later, we had twins, which, you know, I don't know. I never realized how much goes into that. Like, I fell apart, I guess, as a person. It was a real struggle for me. And I felt very much alone in that kind of, everywhere I looked around me, especially social media, you see all these perfect moms and perfect families, and they have the lovely pictures on social media, and everybody's, you know, is smiling, and, you know, our holidays were a disaster, kids screaming in the car, and, you know, and I just really not fun at all. And I just felt like a real failure. I just felt like, you know, something was wrong with what I was doing. And I think at the point where I started the blog, I just needed to come clean. I just needed to say it out loud. And I was really prepared for the backlash. Like I thought people would judge me. And I sat down one day, it was actually Boxing Day. That's the day after Christmas here in the UK. And, we, you know, we were having people over and the house was a mess and there was Lego everywhere and all that type of thing. And I just said to my husband, you got to take the kids out, because I really felt like I was on the verge of losing it. And I said, you have to take them out for an hour. It was raining outside. And I was like, I don't care where you take them. Just take them outside. And he left. And I just sat down at my computer and quickly I just wrote. And I wrote what then became the first article of my blog, which was called I Love My Kids, But Sometimes I Wish They Would Just F Off. I just quickly Googled, how do you start a blog, found WordPress, started a blog, shared this article and went about my day, then came back in the evening only to realize that the article had completely gone viral. And actually the reaction that I got from it was like, oh my God, thank you for saying that. Like, I did not know that I was allowed to say that. I did not know that other moms felt this way. Like, how do you love your children with all your heart and all your being, but at the same time, really want them to F off sometimes and just not, like, you know, and just be, have a moment, you know? And that opened, that just kind of, I had like one of those moments, you know, when you have those moments when you go, when you go, oh my God, like, am I onto something here? Is there more that I should and could say that other people might relate to and I haven't said out loud? And that's kind of how it all started initially.
Well, yeah, and we've gotten questions. And one of the things that we do is we send out, you know, a press release and stuff. We tell people a little bit about who our guest is going to be. And it's always interesting for me because we get a lot of questions that are sent ahead of time. And it used to be that a lot of them were from teachers or people that were working in the middle of the day. Now with the quarantine, I think people have more time. You know, that some people now say that they're going to be listening live. Other people used to say, you know what, I'm a teacher. Can you please get this answered? And I'll listen later on. You know, I'll go on iTunes or something and I'll listen to it. But we had one of the questions that came through, and it ties right in with what you're saying in regards to how people responded. And it says, thank you for saying what many of us moms are feeling, but don't, for fear of being judged. Have you been harshly judged? And if so, how have you handled it? And that is from Kelly in Portland, Oregon.
Well, first of all, thank you so much to Kelly, who took the time to write in like that and ask a question, which I get asked a lot. So to answer you very simply, yeah, of course I got judged. At the beginning, the judgment was mainly about, you know, my mothering and how, you know, all the usual, like, what kind of mother says that about her kids? And if you feel that way, why did you bother becoming a mom? I think like those type of reactions is what are what makes so many women feel like they can't say those things because, you know, and actually I've come to realize in my 40s that actually as people, not even just as moms or as women, just people in general, we're full of contradictions. You're very capable of feeling two things or even more than two things that are seemingly contradicting, like literally at the same moment even. That's how amazingly, you know, advanced we are. But it took me a while to get that. And when my followers have always been very supportive, but it's always when you get shared on other outlets that you get the most hate and criticism, because these are not your followers. They have just stumbled upon a piece of content and it's out of context. So for them, they take it like in a different way, I think, from people who are on the journey with you. So first time I got published, like in places like, the Daily Mail and like did articles about me and stuff like that. And I made the mistake of reading the comments and I just started crying because they're so personal and they go immediately, they try to hurt you. Like that's the point of them. They're not about your work. They're about you as a person. And it was very painful, but I've been doing it now for 5 years and I've learned to ignore that. I've also learned to, when they pick up on a point that I actually feel like is something worth talking about, I won't respond to the comment. I will take it away and make something out of it. And I think for, you know, a lot of people, especially now, everybody's on social media now. You don't have to be a creator to be on social media. So we all have the hate, like we all see it. Mm-hmm. You got to listen to the people who know you and love you in your real life. The people on social media and the comments, they don't know you. They know nothing about you. And I just remind that to myself, you know, when people say nasty things, I go, they don't know me. You know, they have their own things. They're coming from their place, has nothing to do with me, but it takes a long time. And sometimes there are moments that it does affect me, but it does not affect me like it used to. Not at all. I don't know if I helped at all, if my answer was any good.
No, actually, I think your answer is perfect. And I think that's what they're looking for, is that I think a lot of us fear that. I know that, you know, and I kind of refer to those people as trolls, but you know, that, you know, I had one that attacked me personally for bringing on a particular guest. So it was, right. So, but as they're attacking me and I couldn't help myself. So I went ahead and I answered them back. But, you know, what I just said was, and I said, you know, it's unfortunate that you're taking this particular approach. And I said, you neither know me or define me.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, you don't know me, you don't define me. And the fact that I choose to bring somebody on that has a different outlook at life than you, how you feel that, you know, that you're so narrow. I didn't say this part, but I was thinking it, you know.
Yeah.
You know, that nobody else is even should be allowed to have a different view or a different opinion of things, you know, speaks more to them than it does to us. So.
Totally. And I like for me, this connects to what you said at the beginning, your intro to your show about making the world a better place. And I think there's a real struggle with social media with that, because, you know, a lot of the times I'll see there's an issue and it's very important and we need to talk about it. But when people start attacking people personally, the issue sort of gets shoved to the side. Nobody is talking about the issue anymore. They're just like arguing about their personalities. And I find that, you know, I see that every day. It's very, you know, it's very frustrating, you know? So I try not to get dragged into those conversations because it defeats my purpose, you know? Yes. So yeah, it's very tempting though.
Yes, I know. No, and, but I think that what you did is you gave a voice to a lot of people, you know, as that particular listener said. I mean, you kind of gave a voice to a lot of people that just were unwilling or afraid to be able to speak some of the things. And it doesn't, we all have thoughts. It doesn't make somebody a bad person because you think something. But it does really hurt us if we just keep it all bottled up inside and we don't do anything authentic about getting it out of us. So for that, I think it's great. And I think that it probably it helps a lot of other people as well feel like they're not alone.
Yeah. I mean, I love that you said authentic, because I feel like when I started, it, for me, it was about like just a verbal diarrhea. Like I needed to get it out there. I just need to go blah, 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 blah. And most of my first videos are rants and they're like, oh, I lose it. I'm losing it, you know? And I wanted to make fun of myself and how difficult it was, just so I couldn't laugh about it when things were happening. Do not get me wrong. Like, trust me, when I was buried under, you know, diapers and wiping, you know, mashed banana off my head, like in that moment, I was not laughing at all. But if I was able to laugh about it later, then I thought, well, maybe the next woman who, you know, is up at 3 a.m. breastfeeding and the baby's not latching on and she's so tired, but she comes across that video on Facebook, it'll make her smile and laugh knowing that, A, there's a light at the end of the tunnel, but also that so many other women have gone through it. She's not alone. But in my 40s and since the midlife crisis, which you talked about and how the book came about, it really was about becoming much more authentic, but not even towards outwards. It was really within me, the acceptance of the fact that I wasn't going to ever be a perfect mom because I could only ever be me, my version of being a mom, whatever that version was, and to stop judging myself by some sort of standards that I had put, like set to myself, whether it was in my motherhood or how I was with my body or how I was in my marriage or anything, like any aspect of my life. And I think it really does boil down to one word, which is authentic. Which I'm hoping is what people took away from this book as an encouragement to just be your authentic self, whatever that is, as long as you're not breaking the law and harming others.
Yes, definitely.
I feel the need to say that.
Well, you mentioned in that about one of the things, which is body image. And I know that you've done a few videos, which, by the way, anybody, if you get the opportunity, check out some of the videos. They are hilarious.
Thank you.
Which I have done. But we have another listener question that that has come in. This one reads, says, I love your book's title, and I'm looking forward to reading the part about body image after having kids. I love my two little ones, but losing my shape and struggling to get it back has been one of my toughest challenges. I don't fit into my clothes, and though I am not what you might consider heavy, parts of my body are just not responding to exercise and diet. I know it sounds vain, but you know, what was your experience and how did you manage to fix this? Or should I just let go of what of that image and move into what I am now, whatever that is? And that's from Vanessa in Brooklyn, New York.
Wow. There's so many layers to that question, and it's hard to get into everything. But I would say that, you know, the initial issue, I guess, is the fact that we live in a society that really doesn't accept the fact that people's bodies change throughout their lives. You know, mm-hmm. we live in a society whereby, you know, you're supposed to just look the same way in your 20s, in your 30s, in your 40s, in your 50s. I don't know. Like, at what point are you allowed to just let yourself go? I don't know. Like, if you're in LA, I think you need to be like well into your 70s or 80s. Other places in the world potentially are a bit more kind. But that is the main issue, is that, hello, you know, a woman who's had 3 babies or 2 babies or even 1 baby, her body's gone through a major, major thing. And if we kind of like as a society maybe accepted that, then you would go, actually, this is what a woman your age and after a birth should look like. You look normal. You look as you should be looking. So that's like one layer of that answer. But for me, I think it was, and that was through Mom Life Crisis, really. When I went through the crisis, one of the things I realized was that I really felt a disconnect with my body, which again happened because of pregnancies and birth. Not so much like how it had changed, but just how it just no longer belonged to me. Because as a mom, it's hard. Like, I don't know on what level you can relate to this, but I'll try to explain. Like, as a mom, as a woman, you feel like a lot of the times your body's like taken away from you because, you know, you carry a baby in it for 9 months. It's not just yours. And then you breastfeed. And then, do you know what I mean? So you, I feel
as a guy, there's some of those things I can't really relate to.
Okay. So my point is that I found, and I didn't even realize that that had happened, that there was a connect. I sort of disconnected. So how am I going to feel comfortable in my body, regardless of the shape, just in general, how would I feel comfortable in a body that I no longer feel connected to? So for me, it wasn't about you know, getting into shape or losing weight. It was more about, I want to really get connected to my body again. And I did that through movement. For me, dancing was the thing that I felt like really helped me. I did loads of different things to sort of find that connection. And once I had that connection, I felt so much better about myself, and it had nothing to do with weight or the dress size I was wearing or anything like that. And of course, I've made it really short now because, you know, it's like, but it's, that's something that I definitely do talk about in the book and also in the online series and the series that's on Amazon. So yeah, I hope that helps.
I think it does. You know what? We're going to take a break. But so sure. For everybody out there, if you want to follow along with us, you can go to TovaLeigh.com. That's TovaLeigh.com. You can open up another window. Now, obviously, if you're driving, don't try this.
No.
But we're going to take a break. We will be right back. Her book is called F'd at 40, Life Beyond Suburbia, Monogamy, and Stretch Marks. We'll be right back.
Founded over 30 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, Westshield has continually focused on resolving issues that negatively impact families and businesses. Our signature therapeutic transportation service helps to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely transported to specialized schools, programs, and treatment centers with unsurpassed experience and success. We are supported by our full-service licensed investigation agency that is legally, professionally, and actually located when your family is facing a personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's 1-800-899-8585, or visit our website at westshield.com. Thank you.
And we're back. You're listening to Answers for the Family. With me is Tova Leigh. And if you got the opportunity to open up another window, great. If you haven't, it's TovaLeigh.com. And we are talking about her new book, F'd at 40. So one of the chapters in the book you talk about has to do with feeling trapped in the mom box. Share a little bit about that, please.
Yeah, I mean, again, I feel like that's something that, you know, probably a lot of moms can just like, I don't know. I felt like, it's so funny because I feel like, I felt for a very long time like motherhood really was defined me. It was sort of like a title that as soon as you get that title, all the other titles that you had in your life, doesn't matter what you did, who you were, what, you know, there was one main one and that was mom. And, you know, it comes with everything, you know, the mom minivan and the mom jeans and the mom haircut. And you're like, you know, you no longer have a name. You're so-and-so's mom on somebody's phone and all those type of things. And I felt quite trapped in that because I felt like, although motherhood is a massive part of my life and a massive part of who I am, it's not everything that I am. And it's not the only thing that defines me. Like I felt like there were so many other things that I could, you know, that I was, and that I just felt they were overlooked because motherhood is such a big thing, you know? And I actually think that even women before you become a mom, motherhood still defines you, because for many women who, you know, who can't have children, that's a big thing as well. You know, it's like, are you a mom yet? Well, you're not a mom, then what's wrong with you? And you didn't want to be a mom. That's even worse. What's wrong with you? You know, I met my husband when he was well into his 40s, and I asked him, did anybody ever ask you, like, why you're not a dad, or how is it that you're not a dad? And like, nobody ever asks guys, maybe they do, but I don't know many guys who've ever been asked that. And it's such a thing for women. That's where the trapped feeling came from.
Well, first of all, in regard to that question, I think the only people that seem to ask it a lot are my own parents. So my own parents, my mom's like, when are you going to make me a grandma? When are you going to make me a grandma? I agree. And I had to tell you, some of the female friends that I have that have chosen not to have children, I have such great respect for, them in the sense that they know themselves. And that and they just said, you know what, I've made this decision. And it's something that they made together with, you know, with their husband. And they're completely happy with it. So, you know, I don't think that there should be this sort of guilt trip of, you know, you have to procreate, you have to make children. No, it I think for those that want to, that's great. The race is going to be just fine. We're all going to continue to go on. Human race is going to survive. It's not going to somehow fade off because a few people decided they're not going to have kids. So,
Yeah, I agree.
So now taking it now to the other side, which is the marriage side of it. You talk a lot about that and how things change there. Share a little bit about how once motherhood came in, how that affected your marriage and your relationship.
Yeah, so that's another thing that I opened up. And again, it's you know, when you share anything that's very personal, you were always, it's quite intimidating, you know, because you always don't know, like, how people will react. And also, you know, you're sharing intimate things about your life. So, like, even if you're a very open person. But I felt like I had to be honest. And as things were happening, so first few years after having kids, you know, are hard on every and most relationships. I think for me, again, it was very hard. The babies take the front seat. You know, you're sort of consumed, especially if you have three little ones in a very short space of time. I don't know, like, everybody's got their different circumstances, but if you don't have help and support, my family lives in Israel. We didn't have a lot of family around us that could support us. And it put a really big strain on our marriage, you know, to the point where I honestly blamed Mike for everything, like for everything, you know, why I was tired, why I was fat, why the babies weren't sleeping, like everything. And no matter what he did, he could not do anything right because I was so stressed. You know, the amount of pressure that I put on myself was just so immense. And you can take it out on your little children. So who are you going to take it out on? I took it out on him. So we had a really rough patch, like a really, really rough patch those first 2 years. I'm so glad to say it's behind us.
As you were saying that, I was listening. I'm going, I think I should interject to the listeners that you guys also do your own podcast together. So he's still around, folks.
He's around. Yeah, he's very much around. I say this now and I laugh and I wish I could, like, I want to give people like stuff to take away and think about, but I hear so many women like talk about, and I know like some people say stuff like, oh, that's just how marriage is, that's how it's gonna be like forever. I've heard like awful things. Oh, well, that links into sex, you know. Oh, just lie there and I've heard stuff like that. Awful from online creators who say stuff like this. I can't bear it. But my point is, it doesn't last. It doesn't. It's a period in your life, and it's a difficult period. And if you can't afford help, this is my tip, get every single help that's offered to you, whether it's friends, family who can help you, anybody who can say, hey, go for a couple of hours, have a date, have a moment, go for a walk in the park, like find those moments, just find the moments to just have like some alone time. We didn't do that. Not at all. And I think that was really difficult, you know? So that's my tip for people, is that there is light at the end of the tunnel. This is not, you know, you don't have to live that forever. And my advice would be get help.
It actually reminds me of a story, because when my boys were little and we had, they were in preschool, but we had a party at my house, and I learned a lesson from this. So all of these parents would come over and they dropped their kids off, and some of them didn't come back for like 8 hours. I mean, it was like, what am I going to do? They left these kids here. And so after that party, every time I had a sign-in sheet and everybody had to put down their phone number so that if they didn't come back when the party was over, I could call them and go, come pick up your kids. But it was amazing to me that, you know, they were like, oh my God, you're going to have them all day? Thank you.
I know. And when you have like more than one kid, it usually the first kid you're like, oh my God, I don't know how I'm going to leave her. And here's her bottle and here's her schedule and here's her thing. And like by kid number three, you're like, bye, don't call me. And you're literally switching your phone off. Exactly. Yeah, you got to find those moments. Like you have to make time for yourself and you have to make time for you as a couple. You know, when I turned 40 and the twins were still little, let me think. So the twins were literally only two. No, were they two? Could that be right? Anyway, when I was 40, I can't think anymore. We decided to go to Vegas for my birthday. Yeah. And it was like the furthest away we've ever gone without the kids and the longest. And it was only 5 nights, but it felt like such a mission. I mean, I was like panicking, didn't think I could do it, wrote a will, you know, all of these things, like mom guilt on overdrive. But it was Mike that insisted. I feel like there's somebody in the room, but now I realize that it's my children. Sneaking a letter underneath the door, so we're good.
did you go so far as to fly on separate planes? Because I actually have friends that when they took that first vacation, they flew on separate planes. They made out wills, and then they took two separate planes to go for that vacation, just in case.
Wow, you see, like that's the sort of thing that my dad would have done back in the day. But no, we didn't. We actually flew on the same flight, but you've given me now an idea for next time. But you know what? I got to tell you, again, for any mom out there listening who's been wanting or thinking of doing this and like going, oh, I don't know, I'm too scared. I was petrified out of my wits. I can't even tell you. Mom guilt, overdrive. Like a few days before, I said to Mike, change the ticket, go with a friend, just go with a friend. I didn't want to go. And he insisted. He said, no, like we're going to do this. We're doing this together. And it was the best thing we had done, because you suddenly, you're so remote, and you suddenly remember like the person you were with before all of this, and suddenly you go, ah, you still make me laugh, like, ah. Nice, you know, I mean, it was so needed, you know, so mm-hmm. Yeah, so we've kind of made it a thing now to try and make that time. You can't always, but we do try. The podcast has become our unofficial date night before COVID, when we could go to a studio and have dinner, you know, on the way back. So,
well, we have two questions that have come in that touch on this particular subject. I'm going to go ahead and ask both of them kind of at the same time, because I think there's so much similarity to them. But the first one reads, my marriage is pretty sad right now. My husband loves me. I know this, but 6 years in, we are struggling to communicate and keep it together. I ordered your book, which is on its way. It seems to have a different perspective on life at our age. And then it says, you know, early 40s, that is. Can you talk about the marriage doldrums? And do you have any advice to offer? And this is from Janice in Nevada. Now, this next one says, you know, my husband and I have been quarantined together for months. For about the first week, it was like, wow, we had new rooms, we had new positions. I was thinking this quarantine might be the best thing for our sex life. Now we seem to spend all of our time eating and binge watching TV. How do I liven things back up? What's your thoughts in that area?
Well, first of all, I'm definitely not a relationship expert by no means. You know, I never really give advice because it's not my business to give advice. I can only talk from my own personal experience. And to the first lady that wrote in, I would say that, again, the book covers this period whereby I really did have this realization that a lot of the things I was feeling and attributing to the relationship actually had nothing to do with their relationship. They had everything to do with me. I had fallen out of passion with myself. I had fallen out of excitement with myself. And then it was easy to sort of go. And also, I wasn't really aware of my needs. So like, I couldn't really talk my needs because I wasn't really aware of them. So for me, it resulted in what the other lady said, which was just sat in front of the TV every evening, watching Netflix and just eating, because it was way easier to do that than to actually address the things that were really painful. Like, I really need affection, or I really need to feel loved, or I really need sex, even whatever it was. It's very painful to say that, you know, like, so it's easy for me. It was easier to just eat and shut those feelings away. So I think through the journey that I went through, I faced up to those things, and I thought, I want to feel excitement and I want to feel adventure. It doesn't mean that it has to come from my relationship. It can come from a course that I'm doing. And I went and did the pole dancing, and pole dancing brought so much into my life. You know, it was like connection with my body and moving, but it was also this like new sort of you know, pizzazz and passion and like sensuality that had nothing to do with men and nothing to do with my husband, because people used to write and saying, oh, you lucky husband. And I thought, no, it has nothing to do with him. I'm like doing my routine in front of a mirror, and like I'm like thinking I'm hot, like with myself, you know, like it wasn't about like getting his reaction. It was just about enjoying it with myself and actually being surrounded by women and doing it that way. And I think like it all comes back to what I talked about earlier, which is that connection with yourself first. And a lot of people, I think, put it on their relationships, or they're waiting for their partners to make them feel something that they don't feel with themselves. Does that make sense? Do you think any of that makes sense? Again, this is my own take on it. I'm not an expert at all.
Well, no, it makes sense, but I'm still kind of going back to the thing of Mike had to get some benefit out of the pole dancing.
No, I mean, obviously I showed him the videos, but that wasn't the point of me doing the pole dancing. And it's weird because when I went to pole dancing, I thought that that would be something that everybody's point would be to sort of, you know, dress up for their boyfriends. And I didn't know if I would fit in because everybody was in their 20s, but you know, it really wasn't. And people are shocked by that. Mainly guys, they find that very hard to believe, but it's the truth. It really is the truth. It was about women just having fun, you know, like it's just great. I would recommend it to anybody. And when I was doing it, I used to share a lot of my videos. By the way, can we just establish here that I sucked? I was so bad at it. Like, imagine, you know, the worst pole dancer you could possibly imagine, right? In a thong. That was me. So just have to make that clear. But that wasn't the point. The point was about having fun. And I would recommend it to any woman who just wants to like feel great about herself and not give an F. Go for it. Like for me, it was life changing, which I realize sounds ridiculous, but it was.
Well, and what I want to add, I don't know if those videos are on your site, but go ahead and mention the site again. And I know it's tobalee.com.
Yeah.
Or the podcast, because humor, I think, is just the greatest medicine. And one of the things that I loved, and why after Jan talked about, you know, your show and stuff, why I wanted to get you on here, because, you know, now with the quarantine and everything else, I think that whatever it is that you were dealing with and talking about then is now magnified. Can you imagine what you were going through then, you know, however many years ago, happened to be at exactly this same time as far as the kids being at that age and such and going through a quarantine. So I thought getting this out here, getting this out to the listeners, letting them see the humorous side of it. And again, and I don't want to make sure that they go to your site and see the humor, because that I think is going to release so much anxiety and make all of this a lot easier.
I agree. And there was a lot of humor, and I wasn't scared of showing those, you know, those wobbly bits, you know, on the pole dancing episode of Wildlife Crisis. They were right there front and center, because, you know, we all have them. So, you know, why not show them? It just feels like it's a must, you know? So, yeah, I think you're right, though, about humor. It's a great tool, and I do use it as a tool. Like, I do have a purpose, like, in what I do, which, you know, is really to empower women and to sort of, like, show, hey, it's okay to just be you. Your version of you is just great as it is. But I think humor is a great tool to do that, you know, because people don't resist it so much. They're, like, they laugh, and they're open to it, and it makes them feel good, and it's just great, you know? So, yeah.
So, are there anything that's changed or that's different now with the quarantine that you would like to share with everybody? Maybe some additional tools or tools on steroids or something?
I mean, to be honest, it's been, oh my God, it's been painful, hasn't it? Like, I'm with there with everybody who can't stand the sight of her husband's face. Like, I'm with you. And I love my husband, you know, but Jesus, it's like, stop, I can't. So I'm quite happy now that they've eased lockdown a little bit. And for me, the number one thing that I have tried to do regularly is, you know, have my walk every day. So, like, to move my body as much as I can, because honestly, I haven't stopped eating since day one. And also now that it's eased a bit more, is meeting up with my friends again, because I think, you know, that's, it's like life, you know? And again, for a lot of moms, you sort of get into the whole, like, mom friends, you know, moms from the nursery or moms mm-hmm. from the school, and you're talking about your kids. And I sort of left that behind. We have an unspoken rule. We just do not talk about the kids when we meet up, you know, it's everything but the children, and it's good for your soul. You know, you just, it's for you. So I'm excited about the fact that I can see my friends a bit more. But I won't lie. It's been tough. It's been tough for everybody. How has it been in LA? You guys have really gone up and down. It's been crazy watching from the news.
Yeah, and I'm in Orange County, so
right.
It hasn't been quite as strict as it has been in LA County. We also haven't had the amount of cases either, but we're a little bit more spread out. In other words, places like New York, where everybody's packed in and everything else, that makes it more difficult. And I think the cities where things are more spread out, you know, there isn't as much of a you know, of an uptick, you know, in regards to cases. But we're getting along fine. There's obviously been a lot of adjustments, but you know, I look at it and I go, you know, things could be a lot worse. The biggest blessing for me is that I have, you know, my parents are both, you know, have illnesses and stuff that puts them in a higher risk category.
Right.
And they're both doing great. So
that's amazing.
So that, you know, those things, the things now, which kind of goes to what I did right in the very beginning, is that if we can focus on gratitude,
yeah,
you know, that, you know, prior generations to us went through real wars with, you know, with other people actually trying to kill you. We have a virus out there, you know, that is, you know, potentially dangerous to some people more than others. But if we can just be grateful for those that are, you know, that are surviving it, those that are not being affected, I think we're going to get through it, and we're all going to be just fine. We've survived much worse.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. That is true.
So now we've got just a couple more minutes, and one of the questions that I like to ask, and that is my magic wand question. And I have a magic wand. In fact, by the way, I keep saying that I. You know, now that it's on Zoom, that I'm going to whisper to somebody, like, before the show, to grab a wand so that I can go like this. Let's see, let me get it on camera and pretend and have a wand and then have you reach out and then do it. So next time I'm going to do that.
Next time.
I'm going to try that. But so if I have a magic wand that I can hand you, what would you use the magic wand for if you now went back to this time in which you're now starting a family?
Oh, wow. What a question. What would I change? Is that the question? What would I change?
What would you change with that magic wand that you could do now with all of the value of being able to use hindsight?
I'm laughing. I would have waited another 5 years. No, I'm kidding. maybe 10 years. I mean, you know, it's funny. I had my first when I was 35 and I felt so old. And I'm thinking now, what was I thinking? I was like not old at all. But, you know, you have like the whole, your biological clock is ticking. And as I just feel like now it was such a, you know, but no, I would do what I said earlier, which was my advice to other people. Okay. I think that sort of trying to do it all yourself attitude, I so wish I didn't have. I don't know who I was competing against, but it was made up, whether it's made up by the media or made up by, I don't know who, like, just ignore it. It's bogus. It's not real. There's no competition. Just do you, get as much help as you can. And make your life easy as possible in everything. And by the way, in every choice, that everything that you do as a mom, by the way, is at the end of the day a choice. There's no right or wrong. And all the choices, by the way, come with their own set of challenges and difficulties. You know, people think that bottle feeding is the easy way out, or C-sections are the easy way out. It's not true. You know, they all come with their own set of challenges. So I would say do what is easiest for you and get as much help as you can. And that's what I would have said to myself if I could go back in time.
Well, Toba, thank you so much. And I just really want to acknowledge you for your authenticity. You put yourself out there, you made it easier for other people and for everybody out there. If you want to learn more about Toba, follow. Again, it's Toba Leigh and it's LEIGH.com. But also, and then you can correct me here, but you're on, I know you have a YouTube channel, you're on Instagram, and I believe a few other things as well. So is there
Facebook,
any other place?
Wait, and recently TikTok, God help me.
And recently TikTok. I've just been hearing about, you know, I've had friends that are starting to tell me about it. So I think that's an experience too. So anyway, again, thank you so much for coming on. Keep up the good work.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. And for everybody out there, now, if falling in love is never a straight line to happily ever after, and relationships go through seasons of change, renewal, darkness, and light. So be sure to put us on your calendar and join us next week when longtime therapist and couples coach Linda Carroll, author of Love Skills, offers specific and effective solutions to the most common struggles that many couples face. And please visit our archives of past interviews at answersforthefamily.com, or you can subscribe to the show through iTunes, iHeart, Stitcher, YouTube, Spreaker, or SoundCloud. If you like what you hear, please leave a review. It will help us reach more people, and I want you to know we greatly appreciate it. The next time you're on Facebook or Twitter, please remember to stop by our page, check out some of our latest posts, and if you like them, please like us and continue to spread the word. And I noticed that Toba just mentioned TikTok. Don't know anything about it, but if somebody's on TikTok and you want to take our show, puts in and take a clip of it and put it on there, feel free to. For everybody out there, please remember, be good human beings and be with us again next week on Answers for the Family.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza, right here on LA Talk Radio.